save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just a kneecap when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview one of the Detroit Lions division rivals. We're going to preview the NFC North, taking a closer look at the Chicago Bears with a guest who covers the franchise. We do a dive into the Bears roster, hear thoughts on the Lions from a divisional rival, and discuss projected NFC North standings, information that will help you fully prepare for the 2024 NFL season. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, this is Corey Slusser with the Detroit Lions, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast.
I'm joined today by Mike Berman, a member of NBC5 sports team out of Chicago. Mike covers the Bears regularly. Mike, it's good to have you here again.
It's great to be back again, and I'm just so happy after what always seems to feel like an endless offseason and an even more endless training camp, especially for this Bears team that went to camp early for the Hall of Fame game. I'm just glad that we're talking about games that count.
That we will quite soon. And a lot has changed since last year. Now, a quick recap, you know, Lions were 12-5, Packers 9-8, Vikings and Bears both 7-10. But the first big thing that changed was Justin Fields' time in Chicago came to an end. So let's just start right there. How were Bears fans feeling about this when this kind of came about? Were most of them ready to move on, or were some wanting to stick with him? What was the thought process or the feeling?
I think there's two camps. A lot of people falling into one of the two. Yeah, you had a lot of people that were, bizarrely enough, in support of keeping Justin Fields. And I'll tell you why I think that is. And then many people recognizing the opportunity that you had with, you know, someone as incredibly talented as Caleb Williams, and you know the way the Bears had the good fortune of making a trade that not just landed them DJ Moore but also landed them the first pick the next year. For me personally, it was a no-brainer. You're moving on from Fields, you're going with Caleb Williams. But you know, we often joke about this, and the Bears get a lot of flack for it in town and through across the country, you know, their awful history at the quarterback position. I think some people, it was hard to let go of Justin Fields because you saw signs of potential over various moments in his time with the Bears. Especially, you saw some of those highlight reel, you know, runs, escape acts, and 60 plus yard runs for touchdowns. The type of stuff that really was special that you can't teach. That's just kind of God-given stuff, athletic ability and escapability. And I almost feel like you had a lot of Bears fans that were like, but this could be the guy, so we can't let him go and risk him going somewhere else and being great. But the fact of the matter is, you know, in my opinion, and certainly in the only opinions that matter, which is, you know, Ryan Poles and the Bears front office and Matt Eberflus, Justin Fields was a guy who may have had potential, but they had enough of a sample size to know or to believe strongly that he was never going to achieve that potential, or certainly not consistently. And when you've got an opportunity to move on from a guy like that, who, by the way, at some point soon you'd have to pay, and move on to a guy like Caleb Williams, who, you know, I think day one was going to step in better prepared to be all around, even as a rookie, a better all around NFL quarterback than Justin Fields was even into his third year. You know, you just can't pass on that opportunity. And nothing is better in the modern day NFL than being able to build a team, not just on around a great quarterback, but around a quarterback on a rookie contract. So all the signs pointed to moving on. I do see why some Bears fans who've just been hurt so many times at the quarterback position, you know, wanted to entertain keeping Fields around. But I don't think there was any question. You had to move on. You had to bring in Caleb Williams, and that's what they did.
All right, well, let's hit on the biggest transactions this offseason. Fields getting traded away allowed some of these to happen, because as you alluded to, getting a rookie quarterback on that rookie contract clears a lot of salary cap space. The Bears were able to bring in Keenan Allen at wide receiver. They were able to bring in DeAndre Swift at running back. They brought back Jalen Johnson at defensive back. And they also signed another tight end in Gerald Everett. In the draft, they took Caleb Williams at number one. They added another wide receiver in Rome Odunze at number nine, and they grabbed an offensive tackle in the third round. So that's a lot of moving parts, and I'm sure there's some I didn't even hit on. But let's start with the biggest part. That's always the quarterback position. That's the make or break part of any team. Justin Fields is gone, as we've talked about. Caleb Williams is in. So talk to me about that number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. How has he looked in camp? And he has a ton of weapons, more weapons than I think most rookie quarterbacks ever have. But so I guess, how's that chemistry looking as well?
Well, you bring up a great point, Matthew, because typically a guy who's a quarterback who gets drafted first overall is joining a bad team. That's generally the case. That is not the case for Caleb Williams. He's fortunate to step in day one, throwing to DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet. That's pretty good. This Bears team is, you know, I believe this Bears team has improved the roster to the point where adding Caleb Williams makes them a playoff contender. I really believe that they will be a playoff contender this year. They might end up winning, you know, 8 games or 9 games and missing the playoffs, but I think that they're going to be competitive to the point where come November, they've got a chance to get into the playoffs. So all that said, I wanted to just acknowledge that I think you make a great point there, because the talent around a quarterback is a big variable in the success of the quarterback. Justin Fields never had anything close to this during his time with the Bears. I'm sure he's sitting there in Pittsburgh saying, could you've helped me out a little bit with this, you know, cast of characters? I mean, he did have DJ Moore and he did have Cole Kmet, but to add Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze to that is, and DeAndre Swift, who's good catching it out of the backfield, as Lions fans could attest to, you know, it's a nice cast of characters for Williams to work with. The answer to the question, how's he looked in camp, is kind of mixed. I'd say the answer is at times he hasn't looked great, but it's almost as if that's a benefit to him. And there's a reason to that. And I think the reason is the Bears have a solid defense. And I think the Bears they've talked about this through the offseason and certainly during camp, like their goal from the defense's perspective is to really make life as miserable as possible for Caleb Williams, with the hope that that's going to best prepare him when the games count. And I think Williams he's got such a natural talent and a natural ability to play the position at a high level that plan of making life as tough on him as possible. And he also, let me add, psychologically, he just strikes you as being someone who's really strong in that area. Confident. A swagger, the kind of swagger that you want from a rookie quarterback, the kind of swagger and confidence that tells you when he encounters the inevitable tough moments of playing quarterback, certainly as a rookie in this league, that he's going to be able to survive those, to get past those and continue progressing upward. So I think all that put together, the Bears felt really comfortable about offensively, like overloading things with Williams, like, you know, not just making it a simple vanilla playbook for him and having him go against a tough defense that was going to make it tough for him, you know, that was going to challenge him. They felt comfortable that he's capable of handling all that and using that to his benefit. So I think what we've seen in camp is some great moments, some terrific throws. But as you saw in Hard Knocks, there's been plenty of those moments where he's facing adversity and he's struggling and the defense is hooting and hollering and talking smack to him because they're getting the best of the offense. But I think that it's something that's going to benefit Williams. And I think that in the two preseason games we saw Williams play, we saw how that may have benefited him. Yeah, I don't ever want to make too much of preseason action, but
right,
you know, the Buffalo game, he led them to a couple of field goals, and he had one drive that was really impressive, including one fantastic throw to Cole Kmet on the move. And against the Bengals, the drive that he engineered at the end of the half is like, that just had to feel like chef's kiss for the offense, for Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, for Matt Eberflus. Like, the throw he made off of 1 foot, 40-plus yards in the air to Adunze was outrageous. It was really good. And then he made a great play that should have been a touchdown, but Adunze had a little rookie mistake where he didn't have his feet in bounds. It was almost like he just didn't really have awareness of where the end zone ended. And he came right back from that and spun out of the pocket two plays later and ran in a touchdown. I just feel like you saw in the two preseason games he played, limited action. Again, preseason games, oftentimes not against the ones, but I think you had to like what you saw from Williams.
All right, and so with rookie quarterbacks, like you said, there is that up and down, and not all the time does a rookie quarterback start, and when they do, they're not all C.J. Stroud. And so that being said, even with these ups and downs, it sounds like you feel like day one, first game of the regular season, that Caleb Williams is actually going to be an improvement over where Justin Fields was the second half of last year after multiple years with his Bears team. Is that accurate?
I think on the whole, yeah. I mean, I know that there's going to be those peaks and valleys that I think are inevitable for a rookie quarterback. I think the biggest thing for Caleb is, does he take care of the ball? If defenses are confusing him, which they're going to work to do, and they're going to, you know, and they're having some trouble scoring, that to me, that's okay as long as he's taking care of the ball, because okay, you've got a defense that's good enough. And I think over the course of a four-quarter game, you're going to see at least a drive or two where Caleb and that offense figure it out. So if at the bare minimum, if they're only scoring 14, 17 points, that's not ideal, but I think that they could even win that way. And I do think on the whole, as the year goes on, Caleb and that offense will become better and better.
Well, let's talk about the guys that help make the quarterback's job easier before we get to the wide receivers, and that's just the running game. I just first want to talk about one running back, DeAndre Swift. And that's one that Lions fans are familiar with. And if we just look at a year ago, the Lions got David Montgomery from the Bears. And we got him on a three-year deal for about $15 million. And then the thought was the Bears didn't want to pay him that. And then, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. And then just a year later, the Bears signed DeAndre Swift for a three-year deal at $24 million. So I guess, why did they let Monty walk and then sign Swift a year later? I know they've got a slightly different skill set. Were you surprised by this move, or were there other variables that kind of played into it?
Well, I think timing is the biggest element. I don't think, you know, this Bears team going into this season was looking to add more to win, in a more of a win now mode, and surrounding Caleb Williams to augment his ability and help him settle in, versus the year before. I think the Bears probably knew that they weren't going to be a playoff team. But I also, you know, in addition to the timing thing, I think Swift's versatility as a pass catcher, the home run hitter that he can be, you know, I think maybe that was just more enticing for the front office. And I like their running back room. You know, Khalil Herbert's been a high yards per carry average guy over his career. You know, he's, anytime he's had to step in and start and get 15 to 20 carries a game, generally he's been pretty good. And then they've got Roschon Johnson, who they drafted last year as a third guy. So I think their running back room has some versatility, and I think, you know, it's going to be able to beat teams and help the Bears offense beat teams in different ways.
Excellent. Yeah, I was going to mention, with Herbert and Johnson both being back, and then you add Swift to the mix. Swift did have a productive year in Philadelphia last year. Lions fans liked what we saw out of him when he could stay healthy. The problem is, in Detroit, he rarely stayed healthy. We saw him a bit healthier last year and what he could do. And so I do think the Bears running back room, I agree with you, I think it's a pretty good running back room. And so those will perhaps take a little bit of weight off the shoulders of Caleb Williams being able to run the ball. There seems to be, I don't want to call it an embarrassment of riches, but there's no end to the weapons that Caleb Williams has to work with. And we already kind of hit on the DJ Moore got the big money contract. You've got Keenan Allen now, and you've got the rookie Roma Dunze. I mean, that's an incredible three-headed passing attack right there. You know, is everything developing well with Williams? Are these guys all going to live up to the names? I mean, I would be surprised if they aren't, but just want to hear what you're witnessing.
I think the biggest thing that might surprise people is, you know, maybe the numbers, maybe none of them have outrageous numbers just because there's so many mouths to feed and the ball gets shared a little more. But, you know, Adunze and Caleb had worked out together during the pre-draft process a little bit. So there was a little chemistry that had been built already. And then I think that DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are just total pros, so talented that the chemistry has looked solid, you know, for those two with Caleb as well during camp. I think those three, that wide receiver room has got to be on the short list for, you know, top five in the NFL, right?
That's hard to argue with. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And then when you have Cole Kmet at tight end, and you guys go out and grab Gerald Everett as well, do you see those guys contributing well? Do you see them being part of the passing attack, the blocking for the run game? What are you seeing out of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I know that Shane Waldron, their new O coordinator, I know that they've talked about his offenses sometimes featuring the tight end a little more. So I'm not going to claim to be an expert on his playbook, but I think Cole Kmet has steadily become, you know, better and better each year. He earned the extension before last season. You know, I think he's a really strong NFL tight end who's gotten better as a blocker, always had the pass catching ability. So I feel like, yeah, he adds another dynamic, and Everett is no slouch as a backup tight end. So, you know, they have the opportunity to score points.
Again,
it's going to be about Caleb settling in as he's seeing starting defenses and D coordinators trying to confuse him. And it's going to be about him taking care of the ball. But you know what? He did that at USC. I mean, his touchdown to interception numbers were outrageous. So Even last year when he wasn't as good as he was when he won the Heisman, he still only had, I think he had 30, I can't remember the exact number of touchdowns. It was 30 or more and only like 5 interceptions. So he takes care of the ball. And that's why the first thing out of my mouth when we talked about it earlier was like, I think that's his biggest responsibility. I know that that's an obvious thing for quarterbacks, but like, I think that's going to be really key for him. Take care of the ball, be smart. You've got a good enough defense where if you're not scoring 30 a game, you're still going to be able to win games. And I think, you know, steadily as you get more comfortable being an NFL quarterback, facing the speed, facing the caliber of those defenses, and as you gel with these talented players around you, that offense is just going to get better and better. By the way, I want to add, you know, what's an interesting thing to watch is if you've been watching Hard Knocks, there's a guy, Velus Jones Jr., who to this point in his career is probably most known for dropping passes and punts, but the Bears have moved him. I said, if you watch Hard Knocks, because he talked about his pet ferret in the last one, which is interesting. The Bears are moving him to running back and doing a little bit of an experiment there. And he's got elite speed. So that's another weapon that they have out of the backfield, or maybe on, you know, jet sweeps, end arounds type plays, to get a guy like that, the ball in his hands, and see what he can do. So lots of talent, lots of ability around Caleb Williams as he steps on the field.
All right. Well, with all that improved talent, I guess one thing that has to happen is there needs to be lanes for the running backs to run, and there needs to be time for Caleb Williams to throw the ball. The offensive line for the Bears, that hasn't always been a strength of the team, and they grabbed an offensive tackle in the third round. How are they looking? Is that room looking improved or more consistent than it has in the past?
They've been dealing with injury a little bit on the line during camp. They've got Braxton Jones at left tackle for sure. They've got Tevin Jenkins at left guard for sure. They love him. Center has been a competition, so that's a question mark. Right guard, Nate Davis, signed before last year to a big deal. He's been disappointing. He's missed a lot of time, and he's missed quite a bit of time during the offseason program and training camp. He is back now. And then a right tackle, their first-round pick from last year, Darnell Wright, who I think is really good. So it's a little bit of a question mark in that we haven't seen it all working together, and the center position isn't 100% solidified yet. I think it's got the potential to be good enough to give Williams time and to help open up lanes. But still, you go into the season with it being a little bit of an unknown.
Okay. Well, last year, the Bears finished 18th in points scored. And I'm not going to say my answer out loud, but do you think they're going to finish around 18th, above it, or below it, based on what you're seeing so far in training camp?
I think above.
I was expecting that answer. I would expect that as well.
How could we have talked up all these offensive pieces and said below?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think they're gonna score quite a few more points.
All right. Well, then let's jump over to the other side of the ball, the defense. You know, Matt Eberflus, if I'm not mistaken, he took over the defense last year as the season went on. The Bears saw improvement once that happened. And I was doing a little research, and the Bears were the only team in the NFL that I saw to allow fewer rushing yards than the Lions did last year. And that actually surprised me. How's that front line looking for the Bears defense?
Well, you know, the defensive line, you know, and this, I think the theme of the Bears defense is, can they get to the quarterback? I feel really good about their secondary. I feel really good about their linebackers. Montez Sweat playing one defensive end position, feel great about that.
Yep.
But exactly what happens on the other side and exactly what they get from the guys on the interior. Those are, I think those, that will determine just how good the Bears defense can be. And, you know, in the middle, they've got big Andrew Billings, who did a nice job for them last year. They really like Jervon Dexter, who they drafted last year. He's trimmed up. He's a very athletic, tall defensive tackle. So a little unusual there, but he's gotten a lot of positive praise during camp. And then, you know, the big question, biggest question of all is who's going to play defensive end opposite, who's going to get the most snaps opposite Sweat. They have DeMarcus Walker, who they signed to a deal before last season. He was okay. But they did take out of Kansas Austin Booker, D-end, this year. And they felt like they got a steal. And he's done some nice stuff in camp and in preseason action. So that's a guy to keep an eye on, who may be kind of a guy who, to the outside world, you're like, where'd this guy come from? But to the Bears, they're like, we kind of knew we were getting a steal. They traded up for him a little bit, I think, in the fifth round. But they were eyeing him, and they like what they've seen so far. So that's what they've got going on the defensive line.
All right. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those parts come together. And again, I guess the key you said is, can they get to the quarterback or not to get pressure? Because the secondary is going to need it. But getting Jalen Johnson back, I mean, that's a guy that would have been highly sought after if he had been allowed to leave Chicago. But you're feeling really good about that secondary there for the Bears?
I love their secondary. I really think it's elite. Jalen Johnson has really developed into a shutdown corner. The numbers prove it. On the other side, Tyreek Stevenson, who they picked last year, has really just evolved and got better week by week as a rookie, and he's coming in, and they feel like he's another shutdown guy on the other side. At safety, Jaquan Brisker, biggest key for him is staying healthy. And they brought in Kevin Byard, who has a knack for picking the ball off. Veteran guy. They really like him opposite Brisker. He's a real kind of like veteran calming presence for that defense and in the secondary. And then Kyler Gordon playing slot corner. You know, he's got all the talent in the world. Another guy who's had some injury moments at times. So, you know, as is the case so often, it's about staying on the field. That's the case for some of those guys in that secondary. But if they do, I really, really like the production that they could have back there.
All right. Well, let's look at scouting report for the team overall. If one area of the team is considered to be the Bears' strongest part of the team, I'm guessing it's wide receiver, but if you want to go somewhere else, let me know. But where do you think the Bears are going to be the strongest this season?
Yeah, I mean, wide receivers probably where I'd go to first. Those three guys, I think Roma Dunze is like, I think in any other, you know, draft class, Roma Dunze would be, everyone would be talking about Roma Dunze. The problem for Roma Dunze is he was picked in the same class as Caleb Williams. But, right. You know, Roma Dunze led college football in receiving yards. And you see him, just his route running, his hands, the catch radius, he's got it all. So I think adding him to two stars like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, it's impressive. I guess my other answer would be probably the secondary. You know, we were just talking about it, but I really like what they have there. And, you know, Matt Eberflus's defenses, they're so hell-bent on the takeaways. And I think that group is going to, is going to do well in the takeaway department.
Okay, and let's go to the opposite then. What do you think the biggest weakness of this team is going into the season?
Yeah, I think my biggest question, I don't think they have a glaring weakness, but I think the ability to get after the quarterback, to pressure the quarterback. I think until Walker or Booker proves that they can do it opposite Sweat, I think teams are going to make it, you know, they're going to double Sweat. They're going to make it tough for him. He is a game wrecker. He's really good. He was great for the Bears after the trade from the Commanders last season. But I want to see what can they do on the defensive line and pressuring the quarterback to help that secondary, you know, to give them more opportunities for takeaways or some added opportunities for we didn't talk about the linebackers, but they're real solid there with Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, you know, for those two guys to maybe get some takeaways. So yeah, I think the question mark, I don't know if I'd call it a weakness, but if there was one thing I'd point to, it would be defensive line. And the second one would be, how do they come together on the offensive line? So that when you put it that way, that's a little concerning because you better be good in the trenches. But I do think that on the offensive line, the pieces are there for it to be solid enough. And on the defensive line, if they can get production from Booker or Walker or a combination of those two at the other defensive end spot, that's going to round out the defense.
Okay. And I'm glad you mentioned Edmonds and Edwards because we didn't talk about the linebacking core, and they are some formidable players that are going to be a key to this Bears defense, either being successful or reaching the heights that most Bears fans are hoping they reach. Well, let's talk a little Detroit Lions from the Chicago perspective. Lions won the NFC North for the first time last season, and many, if not most, were expecting that to happen. So it wasn't a shock. The Lions simply took care of business and did what they were expecting. How are the Bears, how are you, Bears fans, how are they viewing the Lions as we get ready to kick off 2024? What's their perception of Detroit?
I think there's skepticism that they can play to the level they did last year. That's a team that was a half away from playing in the Super Bowl. So that's a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I think there's like this but it's like this enduring skepticism of Jared Goff. So I feel like that never goes away. It's kind of like a show me, you know, let me see you do it back to back. Cause we know how many times in the NFL, you know, there's a team that's good that wins a division and then they regress the next year. It's so hard. It is so hard to do it multiple years in a row. But I personally feel like that this is a division that, you know, is going to come down to the Lions or the Packers. I think the Bears can be a factor. I think the Bears can be a team that, you know, beats the Lions, beats the Packers in either of those two meetings with each team. I don't know that I'm ready to say that the Bears are going to compete to win the division. But as I said earlier, I believe that this is a Bears team that can contend for a playoff spot. And if that's the case, you know, they're good enough to beat the Lions and the Packers. So I cannot wait to see the NFC North season play out. And it's so weird that for the Bears, it's all backload. It's all the second half of the year. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, how does Caleb Williams go through the first half of the year? Are they playing well when they hit division play? Is he playing well and they go in with, you know, some confidence? Or are they coming in and things haven't gone so well and now they got to play, you know, certainly four games against the Lions and the Packers that are going to be real hard. So I'm interested to see how it all plays out and how competitive I think it's going to be. I hope it is that competitive.
Yeah, well, I hear you on a lot of things. The NFC North is looking to be elevated even from last year, and they weren't bad last year. I mean, you know, the Bears and Vikings did have some competitive games. You know, the Bears beat the Lions one game last year. So, you know, I'm expecting competitive games again this year within the division, and I think the entire division is elevated. And our conversation might be a little different with the Vikings if J.J. McCarthy hadn't gotten hurt, but I still don't think they're going to be a bad team. So let's looking at the Lions from your perspective, what area of the Lions team concerns you? Meaning, what area might be a challenge, you think, for the Bears to handle in a game?
Ooh, I mean, I guess I'd say the Lions' D line, you know, for the Bears' offensive line, making sure that they're not letting those guys rush Caleb Williams or get to him so many times that it's killing drives throughout a game. That would be my answer.
Okay, and then I'm going to flip it around here. Where do you think the Bears might find success against the Lions? What's something that you're like, you know, pretty optimistic on the Bears and thinking it might meet up well with something that the Lions maybe you're not expecting them to do as well at this year?
Well, I'm blanking. Who's after St. Brown, who's
Jameson Williams is the number two wide receiver.
Jameson Williams, right? Yeah, I was gonna say, and maybe the Bears corners and secondary holding their own against it. I mean, St. Brown's terrific. That's a tough question. That's a tough question for the guy who doesn't know the Lions like I know the Bears.
Well, exactly. And that's where I'm just kind of looking at perceptions from outside the Lions sphere of, hey, how are you viewing the Lions? You know, but you're right. You don't follow them as closely. So you're just kind of going off what you've kind of heard here and there while you're very hyper-focused on the Bears itself. All right. Well, let's move over back to the division. The Bears last won in 2018. The Vikings won in 2022. The Lions last year. You've already mentioned you think the Bears are a playoff team this year. They have the potential to be a playoff team. Do you have a prediction? Have you thought out which order you think the NFC North is going to finish in this year? Do you have any idea on that? I will tell you, last year I predicted, and I'm only telling you this because I got it right and I'm bragging, but I predicted the Lions to get first place, and I figured the Packers would likely get second. And I said the Bears and Vikings would be right behind the Packers, but all three of those teams would finish within two games of each other, which they just barely did. And so that being said, a lot of changes in this division, a lot of elevation. So I just wanted to see if you had any thoughts on the order of operations and your viewpoint. And again, we take it all with a grain of salt. We know 1,000 factors go in throughout the season that can change the course of fate. So,
yes, I will preface by saying unlike you, I'm sure I will get the prediction wrong, unlike you last year.
I don't know. I don't know what my prediction is yet this year. I've got a short amount of time to figure it out, but I'm not nearly as bullish this year as I was last year.
Okay, that's interesting to hear. One thing I really do like is I think we're going to see a full season of really strong Jordan Love. And I think that their young receiver room is really talented. Josh Jacobs in the backfield. I think the Packers are going to be tough to beat. Not unbeatable by any means, but I'm kind of leaning towards picking the Packers to win the division. However, okay. I really think that it's a division decided by, you know, a game, and it's between the Lions and the Packers.
I presume you then have the Bears in third.
Yeah. I have the Bears. I think the Bears finished third. And I think, you know, again, I think that they're a team that goes into November, you know, with a realistic chance to make the playoffs. And then we see what happens as they play their entire division schedule in the second half of the season, which is just weird. Should make for some Lions really have a number fun of games.
The Lions have a number of division games late in the year as well. And so I think four out of the last six games, the Lions are playing divisional foes. And so I don't know if the NFL is starting to backload those on purpose or whatnot. But when I say I'm not as bullish, it's because, I still do think the Lions are going to win the division. But I think the margin of error is going to be that much smaller between everybody. And I do think it will be a one-game thing between first and second place in the division.
Yeah, I totally agree. And even if for no other reason, this isn't necessarily a good or legitimate reason, but, you know, like I mentioned earlier, it's so hard to win the division in back-to-back years. There's just those, I don't know, now the Lions will play, you know, they play a better schedule being a first-place team. Do you get the same production that you got from all those guys that helped you win the division last year? Injury factors. There's just so many variables. And to do what, you know, like the Chiefs have done, where they've just really run off division titles after division title after division title like that, is that's hard. That's rare.
Yeah, I mean, ask Vikings fans, right? They had high expectations going into last year, and it didn't work out well. If you ask Packer fans, they might sing a different song because they've had a few runs in a row there, but they've also had a luxury at quarterback. So, all right, well, Mike, anything I haven't asked you about the Bears that you think is good for Lions fans to be aware of as we get ready to kick off the season and get to see what the NFC North has got in store for us?
I don't think so. You had great questions. We covered – oh, here's a good one. I thought of something. So the Bears drafted Torrey Taylor, who was the Ray Guy Award winner, best punter in college football from Iowa. Punt you.
Yep.
You know, no one gets more work than the Iowa punter.
Right.
He's looks incredible. I'll be interested to see how that potential special teams weapon impacts this Bears team. If you got a guy who can pin teams consistently, you know, inside the 10, that's big.
Yeah. That's big. Yeah. That could be a game changer for them. Changing that field position in a game is big.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on him. And then I want to circle back real quick. You talked about how you have so many division games late. That might actually be a blessing, giving Caleb Williams more time to develop and progress before he plays those divisional games, which could impact the seeding of the division a little bit more.
I totally agree. I think, you know, there's an opportunity for the Bears. You know, you're talking about facing Tennessee, Carolina, the Commanders. You know, like, there's some games out there for you to win and some opportunities to potentially build some momentum, build confidence, and, yeah, to not have to face the Packers and the Lions early or even have to go into Minneapolis, which is a tough environment. You know, that could benefit the Bears. They get things rolling. They're feeling good midway through the year, and then they're giving all the division teams their best shot down the stretch.
That makes a lot of sense. Mike, thanks so much for your time. Thanks so much for all these Chicago insights. It's going to help Lions fans understand just that much more about the rival as we get ready for what should be an extremely competitive NFC North season.
Absolutely. I'm always honored when you ask me to join. So thank you for having me. Can't wait for Thanksgiving in Detroit and a couple of hopefully good games between the Bears and Lions this year.
Sounds good. And again, folks, that's Mike Berman of NBC5 Sports Team out of Chicago. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed our Chicago Bears preview here of the NFC North. Be on the lookout tomorrow when we drop the Minnesota Vikings NFC North preview. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. Tell your friends and family about the show. Like, comment on socials. Please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.